Reading the Bible.
I could not get along without my Bible. A lamp unto my feet, a beacon light. It gives the answer to my every problem. Directing, pointing, showing what is right.
Reading the Bible with Dr. Fred Whitman is brought to you by Happy Heralds Incorporated for your benefit, in order that you may come to better understand the wonderful communication from the only true God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Dr. Whitman has served the Lord for more than 50 years as a pastor, Bible teacher, author, and Bible college and seminary professor. He has been involved with a team of colleagues working on a precise translation of the New Testament, which differentiates the nuances of meaning in the Koine Greek and carefully considers the full significance of the grammatical structure without embellishment in order to convey the precise meaning which the first century Christian recipients of God's communication understood. A precise translation is based upon a comparison of the more than 4,500 Byzantine majority text form extant manuscripts with the Textus Receptus. More than 95% of these manuscripts are in full agreement, which cannot be said about the approximately 500 other manuscripts of the other families or text forms. Proper nouns are transliterated and pronounced according to the accent rules of Koine Greek, except for those common equivalents in English. We trust you will be richly blessed as you listen to God's Word. Now here's our Bible teacher, your friend and my dad, Dr. Fred Whitman.
Thank you, Andrew, and welcome, friend, to Reading the Bible. We are grateful to God that His Word has so many treasures and holds so many blessings and benefits for all who read it and hear it read, that we want to share them with you by reading through the New Testament from a precise translation. I shall begin reading from the Epistle to Romans by Paul the Apostle, chapter 1. Before I do that, let us consider the introductory notes to the group of 21 New Testament books known as the Epistles, and then the introductory notes to the Epistle to Romans by Paul the Apostle. The following notes can be downloaded from your website for your convenience so you can follow along as we consider the notes, and also for future reference. We have completed reading the book of Acts on our last broadcast. Following the book of Acts in our New Testament, there is a group of books called the Epistles. 21 of the 27 New Testament books are in the form of letters written by five writers: Paul, James, Peter, John, and Jude. Paul is the apostle of faith. He wrote 14 epistles. Peter is the apostle of hope. He wrote 2 epistles. John is the apostle of love. He wrote 3 epistles plus 1 gospel and the book of Revelation. James is the writer of works. He wrote 1 epistle. Jude is the writer of vigilance, and he wrote 1 epistle. James and Jude are not apostles, but are half-brothers of the Lord Jesus. The books in the canon of Scripture are not in the chronological order in which they were written. Although placed as the first epistle after Acts in the canon of Scripture, Romans was not written until after Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and 1 and 2 Corinthians. Paul's epistles give us far more insight into his heart and life, his beliefs, practices, difficulties, and general conditions of various churches than any other form of literature could. 9 epistles written by Paul are to churches, 4 are to individuals, and Hebrews is universal. There are 6 categories in grouping the Pauline epistles: soteriological, Christological, eschatological, ecclesiological, covenantal, and practical. In the category of soteriological are Galatians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, and Romans. The theme of these 4 books is the gospel of Christ. Galatians was written in A.D. 49. 1 and 2 Corinthians were written in A.D. 56 and 57. And Romans was written in the winter of A.D. 57-58. The Christological books are three, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians. And their theme is the Christ. Ephesians was written in mid-A.D. 62, Colossians in late A.D. 62, and Philippians was written early in A.D. 63. There are two eschatological books, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and they deal with the theme of the coming of Christ. 1 Thessalonians was written in winter of A.D. 51-52, 2 Thessalonians was written in the spring of A.D. 52. The fourth category, ecclesiological, contains 1 Timothy, Titus, and 2 Timothy, and deals with the theme of the pastor and the congregation. 1 Timothy was written in the winter of 64-65. Titus was written sometime between A.D. 65 and 66. And 2 Timothy was written in the autumn of A.D. 67. The fifth category is covenantal and contains only one book, Hebrews. And the theme is Christ and the New Covenant. And it was written late in A.D. 63. The sixth category is practical and contains only one book to an individual, Philemon. And the theme is Receive the Offender. And it was written in late A.D. 62. The first nine epistles, as listed above, are church epistles. Two of the church epistles are circular, Galatians and Colossians. Four epistles are prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Paul wrote four personal epistles, two to Timothy, one to Titus, and one to Philemon. Titus and Philemon are two younger fellow servants whom Paul highly trusted, and one layman of Colossae in whose house the church met. Noted from Colossians 4:17, compared with Philemon 1 and 2. Now we turn to the introductory notes to the Epistle to Romans by Paul the Apostle. First, some pertinent facts about the book of Romans. The author was Paul the Apostle. The date written was sometime between December A.D. 57 and March A.D. 58. The book of Romans was written to the Roman saints from Corinth, according to the 15th chapter of Romans, verses 23 to 28, or it was written from Cenchreae, carried to Rome by Phoebe, according to 16:1. The key verse is Romans 1:17. For in this God's righteousness is being revealed by means of faith unto faith. According as it stands written, now the righteous one shall absolutely live by means of faith. And the key word is righteousness, found 38 times in the book of Romans. The content is justification by faith. And the theme is the gospel of God. Ancient Rome, the capital of Italy and the Roman Empire, situated on the Tiber River on the Italian peninsula and spread over seven hills, lies south of modern Rome, 16 miles inland, east of Ostia, its seaport on the Tyrrhenian Sea. It was a melting pot for a population usually estimated at more than 1 million. However, an inscription discovered at Ostia in A.D. 1941 claims 4,100,000. Little is known about the origin of the local church at Rome. Most likely it was founded by Jews who heard Peter's first sermon at the Feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem, Acts 2:10 and 14-40, and then they returned or else they traveled there to Rome in the diaspora. The foundation of the church at Rome could not have been laid by another apostle because Paul would not have been building upon it, according to 2 Corinthians 10:15 and 16, compared with Romans 15:20. 2 Corinthians 10:15 and 16 reads, not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly. Preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. Now compare that with Romans 15:20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Now the writer of the epistle to the Romans was also the Apostle Paul, whom God used to write 14 New Testament books. Romans is the second epistle of Paul's trilogy, with Galatians and Hebrews on Habakkuk 2:4b, compared with Romans 1:17. This emphasizes the righteous aspect. Now the righteous one shall absolutely live for himself by means of faith. Internal evidence to Paul's authorship of the epistle to Romans is clear by his opening salutation, in which he identifies himself. In Romans 1:1, Paul, Jesus Christ's bondslave, a summoned apostle, a segregated one unto God's gospel, which of himself he promised beforehand through his prophets in Holy Scriptures. He identifies himself as the writer. Then his authorship is further evidenced by his reference to himself as the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. In chapter 15:16, he said, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now compare that with Acts 9:15. We read in 9:15 of Acts, but the Lord said unto him, that is unto Ananias, go thy way, for he, Paul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So he refers to himself as the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Further reference is to his powerful ministry bearing the signs of an apostle in Romans 15:18-20. For I shall not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. Then he gave reference to his anticipated trip to Jerusalem and its purpose as further internal evidence that he is the writer. 15:22-28. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And then we have one more item of internal evidence to Paul's authorship of the book of Romans, his request for prayer to be delivered from the disbelieving Jews in Jerusalem. Romans 15:30-31. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. As to external evidence comes from the writings of the church fathers, that is, patristic tradition of the early church. The Muraturian Canon, written in AD 160-200, quotes, for the epistles of Paul, he wrote not more than seven churches, the seventh to the Romans. There is no contradictory evidence found in the early church and in the early church writings. The dating of Romans is based upon the Gallio inscription, which puts Paul before Gallio in autumn AD 52. Four fragments of stone from the first century were discovered at Delphi, Greece, at the turn of the 20th century. In the inscription, Claudius Caesar, in the 12th year of his reign, AD 52, greeted Gallio as his friend and proconsul of Achaia. Proconsuls were appointed for 1 year and took office sometime between mid-June and August 1st. Paul was brought before Gallio then in autumn AD 52 and planned to be in Jerusalem for the Passover in AD 53. Acts 18:21. Claudius Caesar began his reign in AD 41, and so 11 years would be completed in the early part of AD 52. So the Gallio inscription puts Paul in Corinth before the autumn of AD 52. And then there are succeeding events which progress to AD 57. He left Corinth and went to Ephesus for a short visit, then eventually came to Antioch, according to Acts 18:19-22. He began his third missionary journey in December AD 54, Acts 18:23. And after revisiting the churches in Galatia and Phrygia, he came to Ephesus early in AD 55 for 27 months, according to Acts 19:1 and 8-10. Then he went to Macedonia in Acts 20:1, and its chief city, Philippi, late in AD 57. After leaving Macedonia, he spent 3 months in Greece, according to Acts 20:1-3. Acts chapter 20:1-3. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them, and departed to go unto Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail unto Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And his purpose was to arrive in Jerusalem by Pentecost of AD 58, according to Acts 20:16. So after he left Macedonia, he spent the 3 months in Greece. Athens, Cenchreae, and Corinth were the three cities where he spent time in Greece. And it's from Greece he wrote this epistle in early AD 58. Further research of Scripture indicates that the provenance or place of origin from whence this epistle to Romans was written was either Corinth or Cenchreae. The epistle to the Romans was written from the vicinity of Corinth, according to Romans 15:23-28, in which he says, "But now no longer having place in these slopes, but having a longing from many years to come to you, as ever I journey unto Spain, I will come to you." Paul uses the same Greek word in 2 Corinthians 11:10 as he uses in Romans 15:23. The Greek word means slopes. We read from a precise translation, 2 Corinthians 11:10. "Christ's truth is continually in me. This boasting shall not be obstructed unto me in the slopes of Achaia." No more reason to stay behind in these slopes. He had to get out. Paul is the only writer of the New Testament that uses this term, slopes. And he uses it only in relationship to Achaia in Greece and Cilicia and Syria mentioned in Galatians 1:21. But at the time of writing his epistle to the Romans, Paul was not in Cilicia or Syria and could not have been there at this late date. Now the date the book of Romans was written was in the winter of AD 57-58, just prior to Paul's Jerusalem trip during his third visit to Corinth while collecting a gift for the poor, according to Romans 15:25-26. I will read it again for you. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution to the poor saints which are at Jerusalem." And so he's about to do that. Now, based on this Gallio inscription, we have the confidence that Paul wrote the epistle to Romans in the winter of late AD 57, early AD 58, from Corinth or Kenchreae, or possibly Athens, because Athens, Kenchreae, and Corinth are the three places in Greece where Paul spent time in preaching the gospel. But then in Romans 16:1, Paul commends unto the Romans Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is in Kenchreae. So Paul was in that area when he wrote the book of Romans. The purpose of Paul is to inform and prepare the Roman saints of his intended visit, and to explain the reason for the unavoidable delay of such a visit, and to set forth the foundation truths of the Christian faith, especially explaining the righteousness of God and justification by faith. We could say that his purpose theme was soteriology, the gospel of salvation. Romans has certain characteristics which include that Romans is the most esteemed literary logic. It is studied by law students for courtroom reasoning and debate. It is known as the law court book of the Bible, where man is brought before God and condemned and set free because of Christ. Romans has intellectual, historical, theological, spiritual, practical, philosophical, and literary values. It's interesting to note that 70 Old Testament quotations are cited by the Apostle Paul, and 9 Old Testament texts are quoted. Righteousness in the book of Romans is used in 3 ways. Firstly, how does a righteous God forgive man's sin? Secondly, justification is the means by which God imputes to us his righteousness. And then it is God's inherent righteousness, that is, his own character. Romans is called the cathedral of the Christian faith. And the outline of the book may be as follows. Section Roman numeral 1, doctrinal, 1:1 to 8:39, the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. Roman numeral 2, dispensational section, 9:1 to 11:36, the righteousness of God harmonized with his dispensational ways. And Roman numeral 3, devotional, Romans 12:1 to 16:27, the righteousness of God producing practical righteousness in the child of God. Now we shall take up the reading of the Epistle to Romans by Paul the Apostle, chapter 1. Paul, Jesus Christ's bondslave, a summoned apostle, a segregated one unto God's gospel, which of himself he promised beforehand through his prophets in holy scriptures concerning his Son, who, according to flesh, came into being out of David's seed, who was designated Son of God with miraculous power according to spirit of holiness by means of resurrection out of dead ones, namely Jesus Christ, the Lord of ours, through whom we received grace and apostleship for obedience of faith among all the nations in behalf of his name, among whom also you yourselves are Jesus Christ's summoned ones. To all the beloved ones of God being in Rome, to summoned saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ. First, actually, I give thanks to thee, God of mine, through Jesus Christ, in behalf of you all, that the faith of yours is being proclaimed in the whole world. For thee, God, whom I am continually sacredly serving in my spirit, in the gospel of his Son, is my judicial witness how unceasingly I myself make mention of you all the time while supplicating at the time of my prayers. If by any means, once at last I will succeed for myself in the determined will of thee, God, to come to you. For I continually yearn to behold you, in order that I impart to you some spiritual grace gift, in order that you be firmly fixed. Now this is in order to be comforted together among you through the faith in one another, both in you and in me. Now I determinedly will that you not be ignorant, O brothers, that many times I previously purposed to come to you, and I was hindered until here, in order that I have some fruit even among you, according as also among the remaining nations. I am a debtor, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise ones and to thoughtless ones. So according to the eager purpose with reference to me, evangelize even to you, the ones in Rome. For I am not one bit ashamed of the gospel of the Christ. For it is God's miraculous power unto salvation to everyone who continually commits trust, to Jew first, and also to Greek. For in this God's righteousness is being revealed by means of faith unto faith. According as it stands written, now the righteous one shall absolutely live for himself by means of faith. For God's anger is being revealed away from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of humans who are continually detaining the truth in unrighteousness for the reason that what is known of thee, God, is conspicuous in them. For thee, God, displayed it to them, for the invisible things of his from world's creation, both his everlasting miraculous power and deity are being plainly beheld, being comprehended by his workmanships, in order for them to be ones without answer in defense, for the reason that although knowing thee, God, they did not glorify him as God, nor did they give thanks, but they became futilely vain in their contrivances, and the non-understanding heart of theirs became obscured in darkness. While affirming themselves to be wise ones, they became foolish and changed the glory of the incorruptible God in similitude of an image of a corruptible human and of birds and of quadrupeds and of reptiles. Wherefore thee, God, also delivered them over in the passionate lusts of their hearts unto uncleanness, so as of themselves to disgrace their bodies among themselves, whoever exchanged the truth of thee, God, into the lie, and they religiously venerated and sacredly served the creature rather than the one who created, who is extolled one forevermore. Amen.
Because of this, thee, God, delivered them over unto inordinate passions of disgrace.
For both the females of them exchanged the female natural use for what is contrary to nature, and in like manner also the males, after abandoning the natural use of the females, burned out in their passionate reach for one another, males in males, performing on themselves the dishonor and the requital which it was absolutely necessary for the error of theirs to fully receive in themselves. And according as they did not approve to continually hold thee, God, in full knowledge, thee, God, delivered them over unto an undiscerning comprehension to do the things that are not fitting,
being filled fully with all unrighteousness, with sexual immorality, with wickedness, with covetousness, with evilness, loaded to capacity with envy, with murder, with contention, with deceit, with malignity, whisperers, backbiters, God-loathers, extravagantly violent ones, proud ones, arrogant boasters, inventors of evil things, ones disobedient to parents, ones without understanding, agreement breakers, ones without natural affection, irreconcilable ones, unmerciful ones, whoever, after fully recognizing the act declared righteous by thee, God, that the ones practicing the such-like things are ones worthy of death, not only are they continually doing these things, but they also delight together in the ones practicing them.
Well, that's all for now, dear friend, but we will pick it up again next time at Romans chapter 2, verse 1.
We were happy to have you join us just now, and we encourage you to log on again and also log on to one of our other broadcast series from our webpage.
Until we meet again, this is Dr. Fred Whitman bidding you goodbye, and may God bless your every attempt to understand His precious Word.
You have been listening to Reading the Bible with Dr. Fred Whitman, brought to you by Happy Heralds Incorporated. Further information and free True to the Word evangelistic and discipleship materials and a free CD containing Dr. Whitman reading through a book of the New Testament may be obtained at our email address, info@happyheralds.org. That's info@happyhearalds.org. We trust and pray that you have been richly blessed, and we encourage you to ask others to log on to this website in order that they too may be blessed. Thank you for listening. We trust you will log on again for additional helpful broadcasts. Until then, this is Andrew David Whitman bidding you goodbye, and may the one true God richly bless you with mercy and grace from our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you.